Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Momentum is growing at the state capitol to find solutions to provide overdue justice and closure to the crisis of missing and murdered Indigenous peoples. California is home to the largest Native American and Indigenous population in the country. Assemblymember James Ramos is the first Native American and Native Californian elected to the state legislature. His office says cases of murdered and missing Indigenous women are seven times less likely to be solved than any other demographic, and that they face murder rates 10 times higher than the national average. In recent years, investment in the form of funding and policy has grown to support investigating and hopefully solving cases that for generations have gone unsolved, with Indigenous families long suffering in silence, which in turn creates its own barrier of mistrust. California Attorney General Rob Bonta is also elevating the MMIP crisis in what is described as a first-ever undertaking in California. The AG is holding a series of events on tribal land, bringing law enforcement across local, state, and federal agencies to meet Indigenous people where they are so they can report a loved one missing or receive an update on a long-standing case. I spoke with Attorney General Bonta about the role his office plays in this crisis. Attorney General Bonta, thank you for taking the time with us.
Pleasure's mine. Happy to be here with you.
So there's this growing awareness nationally about the missing and murdered Indigenous people crisis, but this is really just developed only in recent years for people who live outside tribal lands. When did you first become aware of this crisis that has long been overshadowed and neglected?
As a California State Assembly member, I had heard about it, and it became much more pronounced and much more squarely on my radar when Assembly member James Ramos shared his passion with me about the missing and murdered Indigenous persons. And I was very moved, frankly, by his commitment and his passion and his personal desire to make a difference and take action that was long overdue and needed. So had known about it generally, but more recently, like in the last year and a half, two and a half years, it became more of a top priority that we really wanted to move on and help on.
Yeah, and for those who are unaware, Assemblymember Ramos is the first Native American and Native Californian elected to the state legislature. Now that you're currently the Attorney General, and you have been for the last couple years, there within your department is the Office of Native American Affairs, and it was created in 2000. I know this was well before you became Attorney General, but when you took office, you started having conversations with this sub-department. Why do you think it took more than 20 years to have a meeting of this kind with Indigenous communities?
I'm certain that there were meetings with other attorneys general and Indigenous communities, tribal leaders. On this specific topic of missing and murdered Indigenous persons, we really wanted to have engagement that centered the tribal communities that were suffering from these tragedies. We wanted to have the meeting on their tribal land. We wanted to have the meeting in a way that they guided us to have, with the right resources and right people there, the right format. And we set about to listen and really to take their guidance and their lead on how to have the most productive meeting. It was really sort of an example of servant leadership, saying we're here at your service, provide the resources of the California Department of Justice to tackle this problem with you. We know you're suffering. We know you're hurting. We know you're in pain. We know you need help. And what can we do to help? And how can we be the best partner we can? And we wanted to earn their trust. And we wanted some real takeaways and some real outcomes, including having families make missing persons reports if they had not done so before, having families who are in anguish from the pain of a missing family member share DNA samples of that missing family member, or the parents or sibling of that member, so we can help get answers and hopefully reach resolution, hopefully find the missing individual. So we wanted to have this meeting in a way that centered the Indigenous communities. We did it on tribal land deliberately. Blue Lake Rancheria was the host, and there were over 200 people there. And we had 28 tribes represented. It was a major success in terms of engagement and partnership and collaboration, and we were proud to do it.
Yeah, we spoke with two people who actually attended that event in Humboldt County, and one of them was Yurok Tribal Chief Greg O'Rourke, as well as Ali Hostler with the Two Rivers Tribune, and that is the only Native-owned news publication in California. And I'm going to share an excerpt of our conversation because they touch upon that mistrust that you just discussed. They share the important context about the need to overcome this historical lack of trust that exists on tribal land.
Native people have an historic mistrust of law enforcement. It goes back to the days of boarding schools. As a matter of fact, the Yurok word for a police officer translates directly to he goes and gets people. There's a very negative connotation to that.
Their loved ones are people I see at the grocery store. I interact with their children at school. Our families are all connected in one way, shape, or form. We have ceremonies with each other. It's very hard to see people you care about and love experiencing so much pain. I think there isn't one person in our communities that hasn't been impacted and affected by the MMIP crisis. We have a sensitivity to the families, whereas larger media and outside agencies don't have that connection.
Yeah, and I bring that up because, you know, both of them were very encouraged by the event that took place that your office hosted, because many of these cases go unsolved for years or decades. A big challenge comes down to jurisdictional issues. You have tribal land coupled with federal land, state land, and counties, and they're all just interwoven together, which all have their own law enforcement arms. So as a result, cases involving Indigenous people can often fall through the cracks. Is this a unique problem facing Native and Indigenous communities?
Let me first say that the mistrust that was discussed there is something that we acknowledge as a contextual backdrop to this work, and something that we are deliberately and intentionally working to change. Trust is earned, and we're doing our best to earn it by showing our respect, by listening, by learning, by being the best advocate and ally that we can be. By standing up for the rights and dignities of all people, including certainly our Indigenous people. And so we thank you for sharing that there was a belief that we made some strides towards greater trust going forward. That was the intent, that was the goal, that was the hope. And I'm glad, at least in the view of some leaders, that was accomplished to some degree. But we need to show it consistently over time through action, through conduct, through partnership, through caring, through authentic commitment to communities that have long been overlooked and overpromised to. And we don't want to, and we won't do either. We're gonna be the best partners and supporters we can. And this is an event that provided resources to tackle these tricky problems. And yes, the problem, it has unique aspects, including unique aspects of jurisdiction. And so when there's so many different actors, there could be confusion, ambiguity, lack of clarity with respect to who has what duty, job, and obligation. And so that has been an ongoing challenge. And we seek to provide the clarity and the necessary attention, resources, commitment to resolving the missing and murdered Indigenous persons tragedies that we see across California.
Given that California is home to the most tribes in the country, and this event we're talking about is the first in a series that will be taking place, why lead with the North Coast and Humboldt County as the inaugural meeting?
We needed to start somewhere, and we were very proud and grateful to be able to start in the North. The next region will likely be the South. But all the regions are important. All the tribes are important. Every missing and murdered Indigenous person matters to us. We see the families, we see the tribes, we value them. We hear their and feel their pain and their concern and their anguish, and we want to be the best partners we can to help address these issues alongside them.
Yeah, this region is home to several Indigenous lands, and they all border each other. You know, both Chief O'Rourke and Ali were, as I mentioned, really encouraged by the event. And I asked them when I talked with them what the feedback they received from the community. And I want you to listen to why this meeting with these families was so profound for them.
What I thought was just so profound was the fact that we had 6 different county sheriffs attend this event. I have never seen that done in my 23 years in law enforcement. To me, that was so impactful. And the fact that we had community members come to this event and willing to make a missing persons report, willing to provide a DNA sample, so that way, should a loved one come up, be able to have a chance to identify them and start building that trust with the community, that was huge. And that was very, very profound.
I'd never seen so many county sheriffs and law enforcement leaders on one stage, willing to do a Q&A with the public, and willing to answer some of the longstanding questions about jurisdiction, about response, how they specifically respond to each case, which each case is unique.
Yeah, I mean, we're really getting to like meeting people where they are, right? And following this event, what is your office in collaboration with the county, federal, and other agencies that were also in attendance? What are you going to do with the information and the conversations that took place from the Missing in California Indian Country event?
I first want to say that those comments really touch me deeply in a profound way. I'm so grateful and thankful that they feel the way they expressed, that the event was able to build trust and help perhaps write a new chapter and turn the page on some of the past context that has led to mistrust and build trust in a new way with partners across the local, state, and federal spectrum, with us being a key partner. So just really grateful to hear that feedback that will help us guide us going forward. And, you know, I always believe that my team, and our efforts should be judged based on accomplishments, outcomes, on action. And we are seeking to make a dent. You know, we have new DNA samples that, as mentioned, were given on site at the event. You know, that is a deep expression of trust, to make a missing persons report for the first time as a family, to provide a DNA sample for the first time as a family, who felt reluctant to do so in the past and never did until now, until we had this event the way we did on tribal land with the tribal partners and with state and local and federal partners are all there together to say, we want to work with you. We support you. We see this problem for what it is. It's unacceptable. We can't accept the unacceptable. We want to help solve it with you. We're by your side. We have your back. We will do this together. And that's what we will do. We will take the information, the reports, the samples, the learnings, the momentum forward into our next regional meeting and continue to get better, be as supportive as we can, and write a new chapter with the Indigenous people of California that have made our state great for time immemorial.
Given that you also have this unique lens as a state lawmaker before becoming California's Attorney General, and you also understand the importance of representation as the first Filipino American to be elected as AG in the state, how do state laws and policy help your office respond better to the MMIP crisis?
I know the importance of inclusion, of representation, of being seen, being valued, and sometimes the pain and anguish of not being seen, not being valued, being overlooked, cast over. And part of what I bring, or I hope to bring as a person of lived experience and a person who is in the legislature, is to see all of our communities, to value them, to treat them with the dignity and respect that they need and that they deserve. And so, and the policy from the legislature, you know, the partnership with, again, Assemblymember James Ramos, others who care deeply on this issue and fight hard on this issue, it's amazing. It's incredible. It's a partnership when the branches come together. When you have a $5 million investment given to us in 2021 to help implement a bill that was passed, to help our Department of Justice provide training and guidance to law enforcement agencies and tribal governments to reduce uncertainty regarding criminal jurisdiction and improve public safety in tribal lands, that's a game changer. That moves the needle. So looking forward to even greater inroads of addressing trust and solving the tragedies and challenges of the of missing and murdered Indigenous persons.
As we wind this conversation down, when it comes to missing and murdered Indigenous people, I mean, this is connected to other crises in the state, even outside tribal land. At top of mind is the opioid crisis, particularly counterfeit fentanyl that's being trafficked across the state. And that is an epidemic, as I know you're well aware, that has grown just exponentially in recent years and touches every single community in the state. How is your office evolving as this escalates to curb the discrete trafficking that's taking place along our major highways and interstates?
We have made numerous fentanyl busts and seized thousands and thousands of pounds and millions of pills of fentanyl that are no longer on the street. We're seeing it, unfortunately, in too many places, harming too many people. And so last year, before all the discussions that are happening now, and these are appropriate discussions happening now, but last year, before those discussions, I reached out to the governor and I asked for funding to stand up a fentanyl task force, a fentanyl enforcement team within our Department of Justice that will work with local law enforcement, other state leaders and law enforcement, as well as the federal government to really increase the impact and the outcome at the end of the day. So, and to have a force multiplier. So we're on this. We've been on this. We will continue to fight. We also have brought in billions of dollars through opioid settlements from across the country in lawsuits with opioid manufacturers and distributors and others that will provide education and prevention and services and programs and support for those that are suffering. So we will continue to lean in and do everything in our power to address the fentanyl crisis.
Attorney General Bonta, thank you for the time.
Thank you for having me. A pleasure and honor to be with you.
And that is Attorney General Rob Bonta discussing his office's role in providing justice to the murdered and missing Indigenous people's crisis. His office held the first in a series of meetings on tribal land so that they can report a loved one missing or receive an update on a long-standing case. Up next, we're going to continue the conversation surrounding fentanyl. The crisis continues to escalate across the state. We're going to listen to those directly impacted and frustrated with the epidemic. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.